Jump right in and sing praise and worship to God. Amen. I know you're all anxious to hear the word, and you just want to give God the glory this evening. And pray that He comes now and just cleanses our mind and our thinking. We just want Him to wash us with His precious Holy Spirit. Amen. Why don't you sing with me? Oh Lord, You're beautiful. Your face is all I see. Amen. Oh Lord, You're with all your heart. Like You, my Jesus. Oh, touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none like you. I stand in awe of you. Pledge allegiance to the Lamb. I have heard how Christians long ago overbrought before a tyrant's throne. They were told that he would spare their lives if they would renounce.
Have come and the years
years have gone, but the cause of Jesus still goes on. Now the time has come to count the cost, to reject this world, to embrace the cross. So one by one, let us live our lives for the one who died to give us life. On that final day, let us proudly stand. Oh, holy day, I pledge allegiance to the land with all my strength, oh, with all I am, I will seek to honor His command. Oh, I pledge allegiance to the land. Let's sing the chorus again. Oh, yes, I pledge allegiance to the land, though my strength with all I am, I will seek to honor His command. Oh, I pledge allegiance to the land. Why don't we sing one more? Shout to the Lord. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like You. And all of my day, I want to praise the wonders of Your mighty. Yeah. Musicians can play something softly there. We want to remember these special needs. Many of these were mentioned this morning. We want to be mindful of those special needs. People are reaching out to God in prayer. Amen. Have needs of healing in their body and traveling mercies. And we just want to be mindful of these special needs. Amen. Remember the Smith family in prayer, Brother Richard and Sister Mary, we're asking for prayer. Also, their granddaughter is dealing with shingles, so we want to pray for her and that God would deliver her of those. Amen. Amen. Remember Sister Crystal Johnson in prayer. She needs a touch in her body, and so let's be mindful of that need as well. Amen. Continue to pray for Brother David. He was mentioned this morning, feeling a little better, but we just want to hold him up and God would deliver him completely of that pneumonia he was dealing with. Amen. We want to remember Brother Larry Pruitt in prayer. He has the throat surgery on Wednesday. So let's be praying for him. God would guide that surgeon's hand. Amen. He would pull through that. No complications. Amen. Remember the McGarry family. They're traveling in Europe. So we want the ask the Lord for traveling mercies. Amen. Brother Steve and Sister Sarah are in Virginia, so let's remember them. Pascal family was not able to be here today, so let's keep them in prayer. And the Whitlock family as well. Amen. Amen. That's all I have at this time. Brother Joseph, would you come and take these needs before the Lord? Amen. Do you have unspoken prayer requests? Amen. God knows that need that's on your heart, my friend. I know He has an answer for you. You just keep praying, keep pressing, and He's going to pull through for you. Amen. Come now, Brother Joseph.
Thank you. Let us pray. Our glorious and precious Heavenly Father, we come to You today in thankfulness, Lord, of all what You've done today, Lord. The wonderful Spirit that's in this place, Lord. We know, Lord, that Your presence is real. And Lord, to be able to come and worship You and just have a continuance of this morning's service, Lord, is just an additional blessing, Lord Jesus. We come to this house, Lord, and thinking, Lord, of it's a house of correction. It's a house of blessings. Lord, that we hear what the Holy Spirit can move through our pastor to help us, Lord. We're thankful, Lord, for these nuggets that drops, Lord, for us. Lord, just continue to move in our lives. Let that bride take this pressure, Lord, this squeeze, Lord, and let it make it closer and closer to You, Lord. Let us always give you praise. And Lord, the request that's been read, Lord, for all these, Lord, it seems like our needs are nothing compared to the needs that we've heard said. Pray, Lord, you be with them, Lord. Touch them. Lord, all we can do is believe. Let our faith reach out there today and believe. And we give you this moment of time tonight in worship and in praise. And we'll give you all the honor and all the praise and all the glory for it all. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. You can have your seats. And we have a special from Sister Anna Pritchard. There's another member. I can't remember. We'll be singing with her. They'll be making their way at this time, Sister Anna, to give us that special. As they're making their way forward, let's sing that song, I Give My Mind Completely to You. I give my mind completely to You, Lord. Fill me with Your thought. Make it all brand new. Change my life. Let me live in all that's true. I just want to think like You. So take me and mold me. Teach me to be still. Lead me and guide me. Show me Your perfect will. I give my mind completely to You, Lord. Fill me with Your thought. Make it all brand new and change my life. Let me live in all that's true. I just want to be like You. Amen. Sister Caroline and Sister Anna. Thank you, Sister Caroline. That was a beautiful song. Amen. Let's all stand. If our deacons would come forward at this time. We're going to take up our evening offering. Amen. And your tithes and offerings give us unto the Lord. Amen. Know that your giving and your offering goes around the world. Amen. To further God's kingdom. And Brother Mike, would you lead us in prayer, sir? Let's sing that song, Create in Me a Clean Heart. As our pastor comes, amen, just worship with all your heart. Open your hearts to the Lord, amen, and just receive what He has in store for you, amen. And you pull on the gift. Create in me a clean heart.
Somebody's hand close to you and say, God bless you, pilgrim. Welcome to the house of the Lord. And you may be seated tonight. It's good to show mercy one to another. Welcome, everybody, to the house of the Lord. This is going to be a little bit different tonight. And we are going to have one more special just before we start tonight. But I want to remind you of two things. Our sign-up sheet for the Christmas dinner is in the library. Look at it. Make sure you put down everybody who's coming, and what you're supposed to bring. December 14th is the date, Saturday night, out here in the fellowship hall. I neglected to mention this morning, and only because I didn't write it down, and we didn't know this until Saturday, that Brother Bill Cathy suffered a heart attack this week. David Cathy suffered a heart attack this week, and we are thankful for God's mercies in snatching his life back from the brink. And it was a very serious situation, and he is doing well, had surgery, and is progressing well. But if you don't mind remembering that, and we did not know that until yesterday, and I neglected to mention that this morning. This Wednesday night is our normal night for service, for Wednesday night, so we will have service this Wednesday night. Okay? So we're back on track, and we'll do that for this Wednesday night. And I appreciate your attentiveness. We were had service last Wednesday night, but this Wednesday night we will do it again. Brother John's been requested to sing, and so we'll invite him to come and sing this evening.
Song was requested. It's called the Wheel. It's one I wrote a while back. And it's one that means a lot to me. You know, we a lot of times we think we've got it together and we're looking pretty good, and then God says, "No, you don't." It breaks you down and kind of starts all over. The song is sort of about that. Well, the potter went down to a snake-filled swamp with a shovel and an empty sack. He stood knee-deep in a cold, dark pond where the water lay still and black. Then he drove his hands in the stagnant mire and he dragged me from the ground. He's got one hand on the outside, one hand on the inside, and his wheel goes around and round. Now the potter's shop is filled with lots, a vessel was ready for the fire. They can't get wet cause the glaze done set and there's still nothing high and dry. Well, I'll admit I ain't there yet, but please don't put me down. He's got one hand on the outside, one hand on the inside, and his wheel goes around and round. Well, he tells me he's got big plans for me, a vessel of honor in the house of the king, and a still small voice that speaks to me as he works this old clay down. He's got one hand on the outside, one hand on the inside, and his wheel goes around and round. Well, he set me up on the shelf to dry, but he didn't like what he saw. So he broke me up on the hard stone floor, then he swept me in the water trough. But in his good time, he brought me out, just a cold, dark, shapeless mound. He's got one hand on the outside, one hand on the inside, and his wheel goes round and round.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother John. Appreciate that. You're not going to sing the Waymaker again tonight? Okay. Amazing Grace shall always be my song of praise. Let's sing that tonight. Why don't we stand to our feet and we're going to look into Scripture. Amazing Grace shall always be my song of praise. Amazing Grace shall always be my song of praise, for it was grace that bought my liberty. I do not know just why blessing on the reading of the word. Lord, we are thankful for all that you have done and all you're continuing to do in our lives. We know, Lord, that none of the credit, none of the honor belongs to us. It's what you do. It's what you've inspired. Take this service now, I pray, and bless it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And amen. Let's take your Bibles, if you will. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24. We thank you, musicians, and all those that sang specials today. Thank you. It's just been a great blessing to be in the house of the Lord in such a wonderful atmosphere as Brother Joe prayed tonight. But let me just say this. Even the most sincere and secure assemblies are not immune from the attack of the enemy. So we need to pray one for another. And we need to pray that God would keep us strong, keep our guard held high. Matthew chapter 24, we're going to read there first. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Romans 10 and 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. We're going to take a little bit of a look back tonight, and I wanted to give you a little update on some of the things that are happening on the mission field. And I don't often take a service fully to do this, but I thought tonight we would just take a little look back down memory lane here and kind of tie some things together. And after the service tonight, we are thankful. We are going to baptize Anderson Pritchard in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has surrendered his heart to the Lord Jesus, and we are excited to be able to do that tonight. And if there is anybody else tonight who would like to be baptized, we are certainly willing to assist. I want to read you a little quotation here in the very first tonight. God is a provided lamb. And now, how will he be known? How will God be known? How will we know him? By his nature, what he does, his works. He said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Now the branch bears the fruit, not the vine. The vine doesn't bear the fruit. The branches bear the fruit. And the vine energizes the branch. If that vine ever really puts out another branch, they'll write another book of Acts behind it. And that's what they had in the days of the apostles. And the apostolic age has never ended. If that vine ever really puts out another branch, they'll write another book of Acts behind it. And that's what they had in the days of the apostles. And the apostolic age has never ended. Now, let me just go back for a minute here. And I want to just for you to think about this morning. So now you can take your doctrinal guns and just slip them back in your holsters here, your theological holsters. But I wanted to just let you know that in the context of what we do in terms of missions and the things that I do, it's not just an isolated thing that we do here. It's been a lifelong burden for me to be able to witness this gospel and spread the message all over the world wherever I possibly had an opportunity. When we first came into the message, and I shared this a little bit in my testimony a couple of weeks ago, when we first came into the message, we literally wondered. We spent time worrying about what we were going to do with all the people who saw this message because it was so clear to us that we thought everybody else should see this too. Where are we going to baptize everybody? Where are we going to house everybody and hold the buildings for church? Where were we going to get a place big enough to keep all the 250,000 people who lived in our city? We just thought, wow, you know, this is so real and so clear and so wonderful. How could anybody refuse it and how can anybody not see it? It's such a glorious and a great burning light to us. And I'm not saying that proudly or anything. I'm just saying that's the way it struck us. I mean, we were just on fire for God because we thought this is the greatest thing we've ever found. It completely changed our lives, changed our perspective, changed everything about life for us. And we quickly found out that, you know, everybody's not predestinated. We quickly found that out. But nonetheless, we sought for avenues to be able to share the message because we still believed, that even if people in our community were not excited about it, there were people in other parts of the world who probably were. And so we sought for opportunities. We sought for avenues to be able to share the message. And so for a very long time, matter of fact, since 1979, it's been a passion of mine to be able to get the message out in whatever way we possibly could. And so the work that's gone on, and what I'm going to show you tonight, is not a testament to me. It is rather, I believe, what I just read to you about, and that is the vine putting out another branch and writing a book of Acts behind it, because this is what should happen when the vine energizes the branch. And we are the branch, right? And Jesus Christ is the vine. And so therefore, when the vine energizes the branch, there is something good that happens and, you know, the whole world is affected by people who are on fire with God. Now, you say, well, Brother Barry, it doesn't happen anymore. Well, you remember back in the early church when the disciples went out, they were the first carriers of the message. They went out and they witnessed and they testified and they shared the gospel as they understood it, and it changed the whole world, right? That message took root and it spread in all kinds of parts of the world. I'm not going to spend long on a lot of these slides here tonight, but I want to bring you to our year, 2019, here. But I just wanted to go back and show you that many times when I traveled around the world in different places, I would come back and I would show this diagram, and I would give mission reports when I came back and visited different churches in North America. And people were excited about that because I was a carrier of, the message, and I would preach the message or do books or tapes or equipment or laptops or whatever else I could bring for ministers overseas and churches overseas. And whatever we could do, we would certainly try to do it. But then I found that the people overseas, they wound up enjoying these mission reports a whole lot more than the people in North America because they realized they were part of a great big body that was connected all over the world by a common belief that we have in the message that God has sent. And so therefore, I like to do this here, but I also like to do this when I go overseas. And the people over in Africa, for instance, they just love to see the pictures of people over here in America, and they love to see the pictures of people in other nations besides their own to see what God is doing. Because this is a testimony about what God's doing, all right? It's a testimony about what God's doing. One of the very first trips that I ever took was in Nairobi, Kenya. One of the first major trips was in 1997. And this was in Nairobi, Kenya, and we had a tent meeting. And this is the part of the tent behind us here. This is Brother Zephaniah Peters in 1997, and Brother Amos Kangamwe from Zimbabwe, who were there, and we were all ministering at that particular camp. It's one of the first times I got to know Brother Zephaniah in Africa. And Brother Hildebrandt was there, Brother Reagan was there, other ministers that came along, and we had several days of conventions. I remember coming home from that convention really, really sick. I had picked up black fly disease, which means that the food got left out in the hotel we were staying at, and flies got on it. And I was sick as a dog. And I remember I came home a day or two early, and my wife said that she thought I was the sickest she'd ever seen me. And I made it home, and I thought after I got all better from that trip, I thought, this is all right. I need to go again. It was just something good got lodged in my heart from that particular trip. I was just enthused about it. But one of the things that God allowed me to do was to be able to travel with Brother Lonnie Jenkins and some of the team over there in the former Soviet Union. And it was there, really, that I learned a lot about traveling overseas. And this is in Ukraine, Alushnaya, Ukraine, which is on the Crimea Peninsula, which Russia actually stole from Ukraine just recently. And every year we would go there, practically every year. There was a church there, and they had a great convention center there, so we would go and hold meetings in that part of the world. Brother Branham said, when I was up in Finland and having a meeting, I was right on the Russian border. And back then now, it was very difficult to get into Russia in 1962. And he said, everybody tells you, and we hear a lot of propaganda, that Russia's all communist. He said, don't you believe that nonsense. There's millions of Christians in Russia. And what Russia needs is a revival. They need men of God to stand out with something real. I believe that Brother Lonnie Jenkins was used of God to bring the message clearly into Russia and help it get established there, because the Bible said that the gospel had to be preached in every nation of the world for a witness, and then would the end come. And he said himself, he said that he believed that God trained him all of his life to be able to do the work he did in the former Soviet Union, Russian-speaking countries. It was about 12 of the Russian-speaking countries that we visited, and I traveled with him a lot over that period of time. Learned a lot from the ministry, but also learned a lot about mission work in general. Brother Branham said, you can't plant corn now, go out and gather it in an hour. You've got to let it lay there and the seed die and rot away and new life come up, spring in the corn. He said, that's the way we do now. We're putting the seed in the hearts of the people, and then when this great time of reaping comes, it'll be materialized, and it'll be a great thing happen. We're simply putting seed in the hearts of people, and when this great time of reaping comes, it'll be materialized, and be a great thing happen. Isn't that what Brother Branham did? Travel around the world and sowed seed of Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so, over those years, had great opportunities to be able to travel in remote parts of the world and parts of the world that we could not even get into now if we wanted to try. This was in 2005 when Peter and I went with two other brothers from Russia, and we went into Kazakhstan and ministered over there. And this was a great group of people that were believers in the city of Shymkent. And this happens to be on the last day of the meetings there. Our bags are packed over here. And Peter is well food poisoned here, so he's not at the table. But this is horse meat that they're serving us there, because that's a delicacy in that part of the world. And it was a great privilege to have that. And so that was our last final meal before we left the believers in Kazakhstan. And so that church is growing and alive and well in Kazakhstan. Same year, my wife and I and Peter went to Lima, Peru. And it was a privilege to be able to go down in that part of the world there, and certainly to enjoy their music. And we still have a connection with Central America because we support printing in the southern part of Honduras. And this is a map of Honduras. This is the region there, and the name of the town is Chilatuca. And we support printing down in that community, which supplies lots of printed material for the believers in that area. So we do that on an ongoing basis. In March 27, 2005, we had an opportunity to travel into Russia, and some of the brothers were over into Siberia. Peter and I later went to Siberia, and if you think Peter was a great traveler, he was. All my boys are great travelers. They love to go. They've been all over the place, but this is kind of a section here where Peter's featured. Peter's a great traveler and a great guy to go with. They're all the guys are, that's for sure. This is Novokuznetsk in Siberia, and this is in March, so things are a little bit thawed out there. And Peter, you'll recognize this is Brother Viktor Fukin, and this is the river outside the front of his house where Russian soldiers shot at him and tried to kill him in the river. And he was hit several times and made it up on the shore and went to safety. And Brother Viktor had a great testimony. But when the river freezes over, they cut a hole in it like this with axes, and they baptized there because some of the brothers wanted to be baptized. And if you think you want to be a missionary, here's a great place for you to start. And so 2007, we were traveling in the city of Moscow and with the believers that were there. This building, they're not in the same building now, they're in another one. This is a building that was built by the Germans during World War II, and it was built on a swamp, and all the buildings around it were all condemned, and this one also was condemned. It was sinking. And while we were in there on the second floor, you could actually hear the building creak when everybody got in there, and the doors wouldn't shut and everything else. It was rather interesting. You learn to pray in situations like that for sure. The strength of the message in the Russian countries was a lot due to these four young men who were all single back then. And this was the translation team. And these four men worked together with another school teacher who did grammar. But they took every single message, and now they have every single message translated into the Russian language. And the great thing about the Russian system, or the communist system, was that they forced everybody in every country, Latvia, Ukraine, Lithuania, Estonia, all Georgia, all the different Russian nations who did not speak Russian, they forced them all to speak Russian. So when the message came, we only had to translate it into Russian and not all those other languages, and everybody could read the same message. These four men were instrumental in doing that. They're all married now. They're all ministers now, and they travel around in their own respective areas, and they've done just an absolutely tremendous job of getting the message into print. Ukraine was one of the areas where I often travel many, many times into Ukraine. And if you know all the news now about Ukraine and the corruption that's there, it's all true. It's a very corrupt place. But there was very sincere believers there. And Brother Vladimir Ryabov was the pastor of the largest church in Ukraine and over in Donetsk, which is right by the Russian side, and did a great work there. As a matter of fact, after the Russians invaded over there, one of our dear friends, who was an older brother, he was killed when he went outside of his house. They were warned that a shelling was coming by the Russians. He ran outside to get his neighbor who was out in his yard, and he was warning him to get inside because the shelling was coming, and a piece of shrapnel hit him in the head, and he was killed instantly. But there was many believers who died, actually, in that part of the world, and then many of them went to Europe and other places to live, and there's still a shell of a church there, and Brother Vladimir is still the pastor there. Very great brother, and I will guarantee you'll see him in glory. Paid a great price. Brother Anatoly Scaloni here is, we introduced printing on the electronic machines here in the country of Russia because it was so big. And we established five different printing centers in Russia because it was so big. And these are some of the young men in Ulyanovsk in Russia, in central Russia, who are doing this like in the basement of their church and getting books ready. Russians were great readers, and they loved to have the printed material. And so this is the believers at one of the conventions picking up books that were printed there. We did the seals book and then all these other individual messages as well. And so they were very excited to be able to get the messages. These are the five areas where they were. We established the printing centers in Moscow, in Taganrog, in Orenburg, Siberia, and Ulyanovsk. And the brothers there were able to circulate the messages and get them around to all the believers in that part of the world. Always been a passion of mine to get the books printed. In Ukraine as well, we helped them out not only with the printed material, but with the electronic stuff and the technology as it was developing. And the brothers over there knew how to use all this stuff. They knew how to work with it, and they knew how to handle it if they could get their hands on it. And so many times I would hand carry this stuff over into that part of the world. And when they were doing voiceovers in the recording studios, so this is Brother Vitaly here, and he would play Brother Branham and play the Russian voice right on top of that and have two tracks, one on top of the other, and they would make recordings of Brother Branham. They called it voiceovers, and they were able to distribute that among the people. Now they have their own websites. They have their own message hub. They have their own translation system over there, all being financed by themselves altogether. Russia is 11 time zones across. So when you talk about this distance here, this is Ukraine, Finland over here, and this is 11 time zones. This is a massive part of the earth and all kinds of people that live in that part of the world. We were at a convention one time in Ukraine over here in Alushta, and two people came from right here, Kamchatka Peninsula over here, and they travel all the way on the Siberian Express all the way down to Ukraine and showed up in the meeting. And these were two representatives from the Deaf Mute Church who came from Sakhalinsk. And they were sitting in the back, and I've told you before, they had a sign person there doing sign language, and she was translating these meetings. And, you know, we'd never seen these people before, never knew who they were. And they told us their story. They said, we'd heard about the message. Somebody had witnessed to somebody in our group about the message, and we read a book. And so we heard about this convention on the Internet and traveled all this way. I think it took them 6 days, 6 nights on the Trans-Siberian Express to come all the way across to the meeting in Ukraine. And they sat there, and they had never met another believer. They'd never been inside of a message church, but they absolutely believed the message. They were rejoicing over the message. And when they got to the convention, they were just really excited about being among believers. And so we helped to dispatch ministers to go over there. This is Brother Alexei and Brother Eugene. And they went over to visit the people over there. I really wanted to go visit them. I wanted to go to their place, but they told me, they said, don't go. I've had a lot of people tell me that in my years. But they told me, they said, don't go, because if you go and preach to them, they said, you have to speak in English, then to a Russian translator, then to do it in sign language. And if they want to respond, they'd have to go from sign language to an interpreter to Russian to English back to me. And they said, it'll take all day for you to preach a sermon. And so the brothers over there, the Russian brothers, we helped to finance the ministry to go over there and to help the people there. There's still a church there, still rejoicing. I played you a little portion of their worship, I think, one Wednesday night here. And they're just carrying on the faith. And what I'm doing tonight is just going back and recollecting some of these things here. To let you know that, you know, sometimes you work with the people and get them established in the faith, and then you just move right on. And God will take you somewhere else and move you somewhere else. And the idea is not to be a babysitter, you know, in the sense of any of these places, but rather to be a carrier of the seed and sow seed, and then let the Holy Spirit take over. And God just knows exactly what the people have need of in a place. And, you know, you're used of God to do that. Not just me, but you'll see there's just lots of other people that are involved in the process. In the Black Sea in Ukraine, there were many believers who came forth. And just to give you an idea, this is a map of the former Soviet Union here with the nations that were a part of the former Soviet Union. And before Brother Alani got there in 1999, he was actually in Poland in the little village called Wola Petrova. And he had a map like this, and he put it up on the board. And he said, as far as I know, there are no believers in all the Russian countries at all. And what he didn't know was that in that meeting, there happened to be a father and son, Brother Nikolai and Pavel Stepanenko, who were sitting in the meeting there from Russia. And they heard about this meeting in Poland, and they came over and listened to the preaching. And they said they invited Brother Lonnie to come into Russia after that. And after he came in, this was the effect of the message spreading in the Russian countries. So if you look at it from here, this is 1999 with no message representation in the nations at all. And then a couple of years later, this is what takes place. So it's sowing seeds. It's just sowing seeds and then letting the Holy Spirit take place. If we blow up Ukraine, you see the amount of activity that was there. And I believe that's one of the reasons why the enemy attacked Ukraine so hard was because there was such a great work that was going on in that part of the world. Brother Jason Watkins was a part of the team there. Brother Eugene Braun, several others of us that would travel together. We traveled with Brother Lonnie. We traveled, you know, individually and went over and helped to minister with the people over there. This is a famous shot, Brother Lonnie. And Brother Anwar, when I first met him, and this was around 2000, the year 2000, and Brother Lonnie had met him in Pakistan and invited him to come over to a family camp. So this is the Ohio family camp. And this is yours truly, and this is Brother Zephaniah Peters. And we all had a chance to fellowship over there. There were other people from Europe also who were involved. And this is Brother Guido here, who just last week passed away and went to be with the Lord. Just a great faithful worker. And Peter probably would remember Brother Guido. And this is Brother Dennis, one of the translators. And Brother Guido was just a tireless worker who traveled around all that part of the world and did some really great work in remote parts of the country, especially in Siberia. And you know, as you begin to get to know people, you realize they're families just like us. They're raising kids just like us. They have, in a sense, greater financial obstacles. They have greater social obstacles to try to get through. But they were just people who loved the Lord. There were people who loved the message. And they were truly what I believe to be 11th hour workers. They were people who were in the last of the Gentiles that were coming in. And so it was a real privilege to be able to go and to minister to them and be with them. This is Brother Victor, who was in the Russian Army, and he inducted me into the tank corps over there and made me eat what the tank people eat over there, and it's not nice. But we often would have these meetings in Alushta, Ukraine. Now the pastor has passed away and the country has been taken over by Russia, so it's no longer a place where the believers gather together. But I will tell you something, that the message is alive and well in the Russian-speaking lands, and so we're very thankful for that. 2006, I had an opportunity to go to Lahore, Pakistan. The last time I'd been there was when I was a sinner and had passed through with that group. Like I told you in my testimony, and Brother Anwar would have been a young fellow back in that day. So Brother Anwar invited us to come over and to minister at a minister's meeting over there. And Brother Jim Crook and I, who are these two in the background here, we went over and spent a week with these ministers. And it was the first time many of them had ever had any fellowship with anybody outside of Brother Anwar coming to visit their church. So he gathered them all into Lahore. And we were able to have a whole week of just straight teaching there. In Pakistan, there were two or three churches that were established in Pakistan up to 1999. And after Brother Anwar came in, he was just so enthused and excited about the message. He traveled around all over the country and established all kinds of churches in that part of the world. And that's one of the reasons why the Taliban fought him so hard. He's the only person we know that has a letter from the Taliban threatening to kill him. I've read the letter, seen it, and he and his family obviously escaped for their lives and came to America, lived here, and now he's doing the same thing in Queens and New York up there and ministering to the people in that Pakistani community. Half the Pakistanis in America live in Queens, New York. Half the Pakistanis in America live in Queens, New York. So you have Pakistani real estate developers, you have Pakistani bankers, you have Pakistani bakers, you have Pakistani Walmart, you have Pakistani everything up there. And it's just like living in Pakistan. And it's dangerous, and the driving is terrible. Anwar said, it reminds me just like home. They love it. And it's crowded and congested and dangerous and everything else. They just feel right at home. And it's just amazing. So back from years ago, you can see how young Brother Anwar and Sister Sheba are back there. They were involved in not only doing audio, but doing video as well. We brought them when we were in Dubai. We would travel there, and Anwar would come over. And this is we were showing him the works of the camera system. And they recorded all their sermons, and then they distributed them on DVDs. They had a DVD duplicator, and they would send them all over the country. And the message grew and grew. And then we started to help assist them with the printing of the books there. And this is Brother Anwar's brother. And they're transporting church-age books that are around the country. Brother Anwar, right now as we speak, is retranslating the church-age book. And he's going to be submitting that to Vision Books so that they can reprint it again. And they're very excited about doing that. Also, as well, they needed motorcycles. Many other countries need motorcycles to be able to travel around. This is a great assistance for people traveling in the area. Myanmar assembled a team of translators who still operate today and work together in order to get the message translated. As well, we had meetings in Dubai, which was the place which is kind of central in that part of the world for ministering in India, Pakistan, and all of the Middle East. And it was a kind of an easy, friendly place to go where we would not get shot at. Just to give you an idea, though, about how dangerous things are in that part of the world, I really wanted to reach out to the underground church in that part of the world. There is an underground church of believers over there who are committed, very committed Christians over there who operate completely under the radar of Muslim clerics. And Christianity is, in a sense, outlawed in that part of the world. And so these people had to be very, very careful about who they allowed to come to their assembly. And I let out the word that I wanted to come and visit this assembly. And through several visits and talking with people, finally I got to meet this gentleman who came one night, very late, into a mall. And we went to meet him. We were sitting at a Starbucks there, and he came. He just showed up, and he came there. And we were told to wait at the Starbucks, and he would be there. We talked, we fellowshiped, we prayed together. I had some message books I gave to him and explained a little bit about the end time message. And he had no idea who Brother Branham was. He didn't know anything about the end time message that God had sent in our time. It was all new to him. But he was very intrigued. He was very excited about it. And I said, if I could, I would love to come and visit your assembly and be able to share what God has done in our time. And he said, well, he said, I'll talk to my elders and I'll talk to them and see if they would like to allow that to happen. You got to remember that the Muslim clerics would kill all of his children first if they found out that he was a Christian and he was associated with them. They would kill the children first, then the wives, and of course, then the Christians themselves. And so it was a very dangerous thing to have the wrong person come to their assembly. So we parted. That night, I gave him the books, we had some parting words, and he left and slipped off into the night and was gone. Never heard from him again, never saw him again. A year later, I got a phone call from somebody in London, England, and they said, do you know this particular gentleman, which was this gentleman right here? And I said, I've met him, talked to him a year ago, and they said, have you had any recent contact with him? And they said, nope. I said, I have not heard from him since that night that I met him. I did meet him there. I have a picture, and I did meet him there, but I never saw him again. And they said, we've never heard from him since that night. They said, we believe him to be dead. And we tracked down, I don't know how in the world they would have tracked me in that case, but they said, we've tracked down to you being one of the last people who talked with him and said he has completely disappeared from the face of the earth, so we have no idea where he was, and we're just trying to find out. So just to give you an idea, that's how things work. In this whole part of the world here, in Poland, and then of course this is the Baltic countries over here, Lithuania, Latvia, Estonia, and this is Russia over here, Ukraine, Czech Republic, Germany, Poland, all the way up into Denmark. These are areas where we were able to travel and went to Auschwitz, as I told you, in 2012 and showed you some of the pictures there and visited that place, which was really quite a moving place. In Isaiah 56, God had said, even unto them, the house of Israel, will I give in mine house and house within my walls a place and a name better than of the sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. And this is very close to where believers are in that part of the world. I went to Auschwitz and Birkenau with Brother Zolish, who was also tortured by some of the communist people in that part of the world before the Iron Curtain fell, and was a great servant in bringing books and messages and so forth over into that part of the land, and did a tremendous work. Still does a tremendous work. And Lord willing, they've invited me to come back again this fall to be able to minister to their families over there. Back in that day, they showed me how they transferred books because it was so outlawed back in that time. They would walk down the street and they'd have a little satchel on their shoulder. And they would walk down the street and have a prearranged time, and they would bump into somebody and move the satchel over onto their shoulder and just keep going. And it would have three or four message books in it. And that's how they got the messages into those countries back in that day. In Romania, it was against the law for you to own a typewriter, because they believed if you owned a typewriter, you were probably up to no good in causing conspiracies against the government. So the believers over there had to hide their typewriters. They would handwrite out translations of the sermons one page at a time and mail them to a place in England, and over time collect enough pages to be able to have a complete sermon. And then they would print that and send it back into Romania. Things were very, very tight, very difficult back in that day. 2018, and this is since the year 2000, I've been going into Korea, and Steve has certainly taken up a burden to be able to travel into that part of the world. And this is Brother Mike Nutter over on the left here. He has a couple of sons in Virginia Tech, and so we see Brother Mike every now and then, and he's promised to come down and visit this part of the world. But he has a work in Korea, and certainly a challenge. Let me just go to this part of Africa here for a little bit, and I don't want to be too long, but I just want to share some of these things with you. In the early days, in 2004, it was one of the first trips, not the first, but one of the first trips that we went into that part of the world. And this is Mozambique, and certainly one of the poorest countries in the world. This was their ferry system across the rivers over there, baptizing in the nation of Malawi. And these are nations all around in that sub-Saharan African belt. 2004. We were invited to preach a convention over there in a high school, and we only held one convention in this place here. But this is the year 2004, and the believers are just overjoyed to have a convention there. And you can't see this picture real well, but that's Aaron McGarry with hair, and that's Skinny Andrew who's there. So these two guys came along with me on the trip, and we were just having a great time. In that part of the world, first time that they were there. But Aaron's very happy to be among the Maasai people. And this is a picture of Andrew on the platform. Now, I got to tell you this little story here, if you don't mind, because this is the only picture we have of the trapdoor. The trapdoor is a great story. If you don't mind, let me give you the abbreviated version of it, okay? They put all the foreigners on the platform. Andrew wasn't preaching, but they put all the foreigners on the platform. So out here is where the congregation is. Big congregation. This is the last service, okay? So the place is filled. It's a big auditorium. Place is filled with all kinds of believers out there. Brother Zephaniah Peters is here. I'm there. Brother Aaron is there. And we came in from the outside. Right here is a door right here around this corner. And so we came inside. And everybody walked up on the platform. And, you know, they were singing. They were singing for about an hour. And they were just excited and getting ready for the service. And I wasn't preaching that day. Brother Aaron was going to preach that day. And they couldn't pronounce his name. So they always called him the other brother. And if you want to get a reaction out of Brother Aaron, you just call him the other brother when he comes around. Just say, God bless you, other brother. And because they couldn't pronounce his name, so they just called him the other brother who's going to speak today. So, and so everybody walks up on the platform, and I come up on the platform, and I didn't realize it, but this trap door was not attached. It was just laid in the hole. There's a hole there. And I stepped, without watching where I was going, I stepped on this corner right here. Now, I don't know if you can see it or not, but there's a little gap there because it's just kind of hanging in the gap. And I stepped on that hole. I stepped on that trap door with this leg right here. And that door flipped. It just went up in the air. And I went down in the hole. Now, I'm facing this way, okay? There's 1,000 people that way. And I'm facing this way. And I'm down in the hole with this leg. And this leg is on the platform. Now, I'm not going to demonstrate. But this leg went down, the lid is over here, everybody else has moved to their seat, and I'm on the ground, split, and one leg's out here and one's in the ground. Now, I knew when I went down that there was a rusty nail down there because it found my leg. And I knew I was bleeding because I'd reached down and I realized, oh no. And a rusty nail in Africa is not such a great thing, so I realized I was bleeding. But I couldn't get up because I was wedged in the hole. And so I yelled out at Andrew, who was just in front of me, and I yelled out, and Andrew turns around like this, and he doesn't see me, because I'm down here. And he's looking for me, and then he realizes I'm down in the hole. And Aaron, by this time, the other brother turns around, and he's looking at me, and Brother Zephaniah rushes over, and he's just saying, oh, it's just a devil, it's just a devil. And he was all upset. And this is where it gets really funny, though. So I told Andrew, I said, look, Andrew, brace yourself, okay? Brace yourself and give me your arm and pull, and I'm going to pull myself up on you. And the people in the audience now, they're shocked. They're like, ah, as they realize what's going on. And so nobody went to sleep that service. So Andrew braced himself. They'd had to figure out what was taking place. I said, I'm caught in the hole. I'm cut. And I said, just brace yourself. I'm going to pull myself up. So he did, and I yanked myself up out of the hole, and I'm standing there. And because the lid had not been off the hole for a long time, it was really dusty and dirty. And so I'm brushing all the dust and dirt and the blood and everything else, you know, just dusting it off. But I didn't realize that I'd torn all the back of my pants, and it was just in shreds. I'm sorry, but this is on the mission field. You have stories to tell. If you travel, you have stories to tell. And so they're brushing me off, and they're helping me there. And I'm realizing it's all bloody and everything else. And I said, you know, Aaron, the other brother just came over to me, and he just said, "Turn around." So then I realized what was going on. I got it. Like Henry says, got it. And I turned around and I realized I got to go get changed. And I took my jacket off and wrapped it around me. And I just said, hey, let's get the driver and we go back to the hotel and get bandaged up and cleaned up and so forth. And had another pair of pants and did that. And they sang probably for another 45 minutes until I got back. And then when they got back, they said, all right, now we're going to turn the service to Brother Barry. And I said, I'm not preaching. It's the other brother who's going to preach. And so Aaron took that service. But that's the trap door where that happens. The only picture in creation of the trap door. And now you'll never forget if you ever see this picture again. So this is not a picture of Andrew. It has nothing to do with him. This is a picture of the trap door. But when you travel, you have experiences. And that's just the way it is. Lots of things happen. And you roll with it. And that's why my guys, they kind of roll with a lot of stuff because they've been in situations like that. But this is how we traveled around in that part of the world. And one of the things that we did was work with the printers there who were Lutheran printers in a town called Moshi, where you can get good coffee, by the way. But they also had a printing press there, and we printed there just up until last year. So these were books that, because they're in Swahili, they were good for Kenya, Malawi, Uganda, Congo, and Tanzania, and Burundi as well. And so this has been an ongoing thing, but it's been very expensive to print over these years. In 2006, we brought 35 people over who were all in the medical field, and we did a medical mission trip there. When medicines and medical supplies go out of date in America, they're not allowed to be sold, so they are usually given to missions and mission-type operations in different parts of the world. As long as you take them outside the country, you can still use them. There's nothing wrong with them. It's just that they're out of date for shelf life over here. So we bought the equivalent of $1 million worth of medicines and supplies. We didn't pay $1 million, but we bought it at a vastly reduced price. And this is Brother Junior Davis and I at the warehouse. And they were putting together our boxes. And we brought all of those materials from Bristol, Tennessee, down to Peter's garage there in Lincolnton. And we repackaged it all up. Sister April Grant was there. Sister Sharon McCafferty's sister was there. I got pictures of her being there and several of the brothers here in the church. And we reboxed it all up, put it on KLM, and sent it over to Tanzania. Brother Rick Purdy went over ahead of the group and established a pharmacy over there, like a storage over there. And then we all came over and held a medical mission trip for the people in that part of the world who had never seen a doctor before. One of the things that we did over there was, you know, to meet with the ministers. We had ministers' meetings. Brother Mark was there. Brother Peter was there. Different ones, and we helped establish them with printing messages on the hub. And keep this brother in mind here. You'll see him just again in a little bit. But this was under the tarp. Some of the Sister Judy Dilling was there. Sister Faye Coffey were there as nurses and did a great work in that few short days that we were there in 2006. Conditions are primitive in Tanzania. This is Brother Zephaniah baptizing in a cow trough in the jungle. That's the only water they have in the whole village. And so he's baptizing people in that part of the world. 2013, we were involved in helping relieve the famine that was there in all of that sub-Saharan part of the world. And this is Brother Exaud here from Arusha, and they're bringing sacks of grain and beans and rice to those people. And we were given almost $100,000 from people in Europe and North America to help to feed the people. You remember, a number of years ago, you may remember, we raised some funds to have some karaoke machines. And those were machines that were able to use a microphone. They also could play a CD and play music. And the brothers would go into the villages, and these are jungle areas here where they would go in, set up this karaoke machine, and they would hold revivals. One of those revivals was in Loliondo and Magunga. And as a result of that, there was a lot of new converts who came and are still coming in that part of the world. This is missionary John Harwell there with Sister Maria from Magunga last December. And I haven't even met Sister Maria yet, but John, I told John, I said, send us over a picture. And John had the privilege of meeting Sister Maria and some of the people from that village over there. And they're just so excited about having a new church. And then, of course, Brother Burley here with Brother Adam and translator and traveling around different parts of the world. Brother Burley's just back a month or two ago from traveling in that part of the world. And then Brother Zephaniah passed away in June. And we were able to go and be a part of the funeral over there. That's when I had that incredible journey over there to get there in time for the funeral. And when I prayed and remember and asked that Lord, if you just send angels to help rearrange this so we get there in time. And I walked in half hour early to the funeral. And Brother Elias, he just shook his head and he said, I could not believe, he said, you were actually here. I could not believe you actually made it. And so I didn't have a tie, I didn't have a jacket. All of my luggage was still behind me coming, and I borrowed stuff in order to get up there and speak in the funeral. And there was hundreds and hundreds of people who had come from all over several nations to be there to honor Brother Zephaniah. And it was just a privilege to be there. That constituted my third trip over to Tanzania this past year. I love this picture. This is Brother Elias. And I told you to keep in mind that picture of Brother, I'll think of his name in a second here, who was receiving the Bibles. But he's a pastor out in this area where the Maasai people live and has just done a tremendous work with the karaoke machines that we did, that we purchased, and the Bibles that we sent there. And I'm saying this to say to you that, you know, sometimes it seems like, you know, you're just giving $5 or $10 or putting a dollar in the plate, and it may not seem to matter. Over the years, and this is what I just wanted to show you tonight, over the years you see the accumulated effect of, you know, just sowing seeds and printing books and sending things into those parts of the world, and you watch believers become established. Now listen. It is not very profitable for me to buy every missionary a car or a motorcycle because they're going to break down. They're going to have to replace them. But when you give them the message, when you give them the Word of God, and they believe that, they receive that, then God will bless them and give them the things that they have need of. He'll help, you know, to get their churches done and get transportation. And we assist with that too. But our primary thrust is not material stuff like that. Primary thrust is to get the Word in their hands, get the best translation we possibly can, and get the message into their hands. And so these assemblies now that didn't have any connection with the message at all years ago, and now here they are now believing the message and coming in by droves into that into the faith in different parts of the country. Lord willing, in February we'll be going back over there to dedicate the new church in Arusha, and then to be able to go out and visit the believers out there in Loliondo. Any of you would like to come, it would be just a wonderful trip to be able to get out into the bush and be able to visit the believers there. They'd be so absolutely excited that you would come that far to be with them. These are people who probably travel a 100-mile radius in all of their lives, and for them to have you come would be a tremendous blessing. The believers in Arusha outgrew their church because so much is happening there. And these are some of the sisters. These are sisters I just thought I'd throw in this picture here for you. I'm just saying. And they work very hard. And this is the new outside of the church. Now, if you've been to the church, you'll recognize this is the old wall of the compound here. And there used to be a pretty wide walkway here. And now they've put in this new sanctuary. For those of you that have been there, this used to be the platform and the front of the church. They've turned this now into the back of the church, and so this is the entrance to come into there. And this used to be the entrance, and now this is the platform area. And they've just done a tremendous extension for this church. Double the capacity. Double the capacity. Because the people were sitting out back here. They were sitting out here in the sun with a little awning over them. Be 150 people out back in the sunshine every service. And so they took their existing church and just expanded it, changed the roof and expanded it. And they're at this point now, and they're holding services in the church, and they're waiting for me to come and be able to dedicate the new building. But they're just so excited about that. They're just thrilled to have such a nice big place that they can worship. That church, that renovation was completely funded by this church. And I'm very thankful that we were able to help them to do that. And if you don't mind, I'd ask you just to keep Brother Elias in your prayers. He's got some real serious shoulder issues, and he's going to probably need some medical help. And I invited him. I said, if you need it, I said, we'd love to have you come over and be able to be ministered to over on this side. I said, in the meantime, we'll be praying for you. But Brother Elias is just such a tremendous steward and a leader. And all of this work they have done for about $15,000. $15,000. And they've done all this work. And it's just such a blessing to be able to see what they've done with so little over there and turned it into such a beautiful sanctuary. Earlier in the year, these are the dynamic duo that were off in Alaska there, and Brother Steve went and ministered up in Queens, New York there, the Manila Youth Retreat in Ireland in August 2019, in Lusaka, Zambia in July 2019, holding the minister's meeting out there in Zambia, ministering in the church there. I got physically tired when I was pulling together these pictures, and I realized it's time to get some of these young men rallied to be able to go to minister to them. But I would like to say this, that I'm just very excited about the work that's being done and the printing that's being done, and to be able to see the messages go out. And it's great to see them printed, but it's great to see them here. And so far, these are the books that are in the finished process here. And we have English and Spanish that are on in the pipeline. These are two books you've never seen. These are in Bemba, and these are now en route. They're on ships en route to Zambia, and this is the language that they speak. It's about 250,000 people who speak the language of Bemba, and you've never seen this, but this they had it translated, and so when I went over to Zambia, they said, hey, we have books already translated, and they said, we have a bunch besides this, and I said, give me your translations. We'll turn them into books for you. So for about, I think, something like 40 cents a book, we're able to put 10,000 each of these into the hands of the believers over there. And they wrote me the other day and they said, where's the boat? Tell us where the boat is. They're just so excited about having the messages come to them. But again, to me, the thrust has always been to get the message into their hands. For them to be able to have the books in their languages and to be able to enjoy them and to be able to read them and pass them among their churches and have their own Bible. It's just such a great blessing. But it isn't something that's just happening like this year. This is, for me and my family and those that have been associated with, I mean, it's just been an ongoing thing. And you're a part of that. Brother Branham said this. He said that whenever somebody goes on the mission field, and he said, you give an offering, and he said, if God blesses that, he said, the blessing goes to everyone who contributes to that. So the blessing is handed down to those that are a part of that. In Angola at the moment, I told you last week that there was a hang up with the customs and the duties that were there, and some of you have asked me about that situation. And we got Brother Paulo involved over in Portugal because he speaks their language and he is able to make phone calls and emails and respond to them. He's done a really tremendous work. And they were talking about $15,000 in fines and duties to get the books out of customs and into the hands of the believers. So far, he's reduced that amount to $2,300. And that's certainly a very doable amount of money. So we've written all kinds of letters, sent all kinds of invoices and documents over there to try to satisfy. But that's Angola. That's just the way they are in that country. And so we've been navigating through all the red tape to try to get the right costs and deal with the right people and make sure that if we send money that it goes to free the books, because we want to see the books in the hands of the people. So as we speak, there's 5,000 church-age books just like this that are in the hands of the customs people there, and we're hoping this week to be able to get them released. They were sent there. They were sent there in April of this year, April, May of this year. They were sent there, so they're still hung up in that process, and that's part of our learning curve that we have to try to get the books freed up, because we just want to get the books in the hands of the people. And we learn a lot. This is the only country we've had this problem with, and so we learn from that. And hopefully we'll get them freed up. Next time we do it, we'll do it better, do it smarter, and be able to get things into the hands of the believers in a better way. But we will probably have to pay that duty for them to get the books out and be able to free them up so that they can have them in the country there. And it's just exciting now because there are the Filipino books, there's Pakistani Urdu books, there's English books, there's more Swahili books, we're doing the SEALs book. I've assembled a team of people who are helping different places like in Norway and in Europe and in our area here, and we're doing a part of the website Lucas is doing for us in order to showcase some of these things, or just to let people know what's taking place. But to me, that's just a wonderful thing to see moving along. And then Sister Chanel met this lady who's been coming to our church, and she visited here a couple of Sundays and been here. Portuguese, I think, is her first language, and so we were able to give her a Portuguese church age book today, and let her enjoy that. And she met her in a park and just been visiting the church and enjoying the church and the message and excited about that. So it's just been great to be able to hand her a church-age book in her own native tongue. But that's what Matthew 24 is all about. You know, this gospel shall go forth in all the nations of the earth, and then shall the end come. But God's got to reach everybody. And it humbles you in a sense. You know, my head is spinning when I was thinking about just the ground that's covered. And we're just one small assembly, but by His grace, God's allowed us to be able to, you know, touch lives in different parts of the world. And I don't mean to say this exclusively, because there are other people that are laboring to do things in other parts of the world. But to me, and I'll just close in saying this, this is what should happen. When you have a passion for the message, you want to see other people have it as well. So let me go back to the first quote I gave you. How will He be known? How will we know Him? By His nature, what He does and His works. And He said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. And the branch bears the fruit, not the vine. The vine energizes the branch. And if that ever really puts out another branch, they'll write another book of Acts behind it. And that's what they had in the days of the apostles. And the apostolic age has never ended. Let's stand to our feet. It's never ended. Let's have our musicians come. And Jaron, if you'll come, and we're going to have a baptizing tonight, and Anderson's going to come and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if there's anybody else who would like to walk in the waters of baptism, you're certainly welcome to come tonight and surrender your life to Christ. I don't think there's any better time in the world to do it than today. And there's no better reason to do it but just to let the Holy Spirit take control of your life. I think that's a wonderful reason. I wonder, can we sing that little chorus we started with, Amazing Grace Shall Always Be My Song of Praise? Let's sing that again, and I'm going to slip out and get ready for the baptizing here, and then we'll let Brother Jaron dismiss tonight. We'll see you on Wednesday night. I don't show any of that stuff on the board there for my own sake or for you to say, wow, what a great guy you are. That's not the purpose at all. It's rather simply to show that God has done great things in our time. And the message and the spread of the message didn't stop when Brother Branham went off the scene. And when you believe it, you love it, you know it's true, you just want everybody to enjoy it. And I'm just excited to be a part of an assembly that's supportive of that with all of you and with other brothers in different parts of the world who are we're laboring as well to get the message out, because all we're doing is making sure that the bride is complete. And when the bride is complete, you know what? We'll leave here. And so I'd like to do my part. I'd like to do what I can. I remember when Brother Biscoe was here, and I hope he doesn't mind me sharing this, but we were sitting on the platform here in the last service on Sunday morning, and singing going on, and the choir was singing, and he just reached in his pocket and he gave me some money. He just handed me some money and he said, print some books for me, will you? Print some books for me. I said, we sure will. Sure will. I think it's a blessing to be able to do what we can and get the message into the hands of people. And I'll tell you what, we all receive the blessing. We all receive the blessing when that goes on. Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise, for it was grace my liberty. I do not know just why he presence tonight, Lord. We want to thank you to be a part of a group of people that have a passion for your word. And Lord, it's just been an honor to be able to labor in the vineyard, Lord, to labor in the fields with so many others, Lord, that carry the same burden. Lord, I pray that you would bless this assembly and help us, Lord, I pray, to be able to use the resources you've given to us wisely, that we may know exactly, Lord, what the need is, and to be able to respond to those needs. Think of all these believers, Lord, overseas, and different ones that struggle in very difficult and remote parts of the world. But Lord, you know exactly where your bride is. You know exactly how to reach them, and you know exactly what they have need of. And Father, we just pray that you would use us, Lord, as just instruments or vessels in your hand to be able to minister to their needs. We thank you, Lord, for your provision, and we thank you for your leadership in our lives. We'll give you thanks in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And amen. To view the cross where Jesus died.
I surrender all. I surrender all. Oh, I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. And all to Jesus, I surrender. My freely give, and I will ever love and trust Him in His presence.
Salvation, glory, glory to Him.
Isn't that precious, saints? Man, I know the angels are rejoicing at this time. Hallelujah. It's just so wonderful to see young people turning their hearts to the Lord. Amen. Why don't we sing this song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. No turning back. Amen. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Well, it's Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. It's Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Oh, what a change in my life. Sing it again. It's Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. It's Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Well, it's Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change. My life. Oh, what a change in my life. Sing it as you go now. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. It's Jesus on the inside, working outside. Oh, what a change in my life. It's Jesus on the inside, working.